Blog Talk Radio.
Coming live, a show-stopping, red carpet walking, elegant award show, September 29th to a Metro Detroit theater, is the hottest award show of the year. It's the first annual Spoken Word Billboard Awards, celebrating the Hot 100 ranking artists from across the globe in the elegant facility of the Village Theater in Canton, Michigan, featuring performances by R&B sensation Laurie Edwards, hip-hop phenomenon Zach One, soul singer Stephen Guy White, spoken word artist Romeo Donati, romantic blues musician Elvin Lloyd Horn, poet Jamie McConnell, vocalist Elfrida Castillo, poet Dom Touch Artist Register, spoken word artist Jazzy Sadilk, and so many more. Be prepared for sheer entertainment that will touch every possible human emotion in your body, making you thirsty and already anticipating the next year's event. Tickets are $25 and are available through the Village Theater box office. Call 734-394-5300. To reserve your ticket today.
Good evening. This is Breaking Free with psychotherapist Lori Coburn. Tonight we are going to be talking about the power of decision, our power to choose for truth, to choose for God, and how we have to claim that because no one else can do it for us. We will be looking at Lesson 152 in the workbook lesson of A Course in Miracles, titled, The Power of Decision is My Own. Feel free to call in with questions at 917-932-8881. That's 917-932-8881. You can also ask me questions through my website, LoriCoburn.com. That's Lori with two R's, L-O-R-R-I, Coburn, C-O-B-U-R-N.com. Click on the Ask Lori tab. Those questions, however, I'll need to answer after the show because I am not able to get on there while we're talking, but I will write to you back. Let's start by reading the first paragraph of Lesson 152 in the workbook of A Course in Miracles. No one can suffer loss unless it be his own decision. No one suffers pain except his choice elects this state for him. No one can grieve, nor fear, nor think him sick, unless these are the outcomes that he wants. And no one dies without his own consent. Nothing occurs but represents your wish, and nothing is omitted that you choose. Here is your world, complete in all details. Here is its whole reality for you, and it is only here salvation is. Whoa, that says a lot. That's telling us that we are doing all of this to ourselves and that we're the only ones who can save us from it. This whole world with all of the suffering, all of the pain, all of the death that we think is out there. Here is your world, complete in all its details. And it is only here salvation is. What does this mean? A Course in Miracles is very simple. It says there is truth and there is illusion and there is no compromise between the two. That means that truth is, God is, and nothing else exists. You can also say love is. And nothing else exists. In the introduction to A Course in Miracles, it says that this course can be simply summed up with these three lines. Nothing real can be threatened. Nothing unreal exists. Herein lies the peace of God. And yet, there appears to be this world out there that we're living in, making our way through, and we desperately want to find our way back to God. A Course in Miracles says, decide. Decide for God and it is done. Decide for truth and it is done. Because you are the one making up the world that you think is out there. You are mind. You are not a body. You are not a traveler in the world. You are not the small self, the small ego personality that you think you are. It is your power of decision to claim your capital S self, your true self. Step up into your power and say, I am the Holy Son of God Himself. I cannot suffer. I cannot be in pain. I cannot suffer loss, nor fail to do all that salvation would ask. What is salvation? Salvation is waking up from the nightmare that you've made up. Waking up from the nightmare that you are dreaming, and that it's knowing that it's only your choice to take ownership that you're the dreamer of the dream. I can say for certain that this is true because I've experienced it in my own life. For many years, I did A Course in Miracles half-heartedly. I would say, oh, well, I'll forgive that, but then I would forget to forgive something else. Oh, well, I can see where I'm the Christ self here, but I don't see it over here. And what happened for me was when my father dropped his body, passed away in April of this year, 4 months ago, I realized that the power of decision was my own. I realized that if I did not accept truth over illusion, that I would collapse in grief. I would collapse into the illusion and just be done for, because I have a serious history of depression and much great difficulty handling loss. I am a bucket of tears. I've been a bucket of tears my whole life. And I knew I had darn well better step up to the plate and accept truth. Accept the truth that my dad wasn't a body, isn't a body, never was a body, and neither am I, and that I cannot be separated from the love that is my earthly dad or my earthly father, God, all there is. And it works. It absolutely works. When you make an absolutely firm decision that you are going to choose God, choose truth, choose love, and you will brook no argument, you won't even go into anything that's not love, it works. When you decide you're going to forgive every illusion that you made, it works. Your life starts changing, miracles start happening, and you almost can't even describe how incredibly wonderful your life becomes. And it's all about the power of decision. No one can suffer loss unless it be his own decision. No one suffers pain except his choice elects this state for him. No one can grieve, nor fear, nor think himself sick unless these are the outcomes that he wants. Well, you might say, how is that possible when there's all kinds of things that happen to us? How can I not grieve if somebody steals from me, or if somebody rapes me, or if somebody murders someone that I love? How is it possible not to grieve with that? How is it possible not to grieve or be sick if I'm afflicted with cancer? I didn't do that to myself. A Course in Miracles says that in one way, yes, you did, but in another way, you're not doing anything. And here's the interesting part. It looks like you are this person with a body who has a personality who is undergoing certain trials or tribulations in life. What you are deciding to do is to identify yourself as that body. This is where your power of decision comes in. You have chosen to identify your true self with the false lower ego self that is a body. And that is not who you are. when you change your mind and you say, I am the Christ self, I am the higher self, I am the Holy Son of God, I am not a body, I am free, that is when you are set free. And you step back into mind, which is what you really are, and you just watch all the bodies doing their thing here on earth, and you know that it's all a dream. It's like a fun house. You go into a fun house at an amusement park, and you go in front of these mirrors, and your body is all distorted. In some mirrors, it's big and fat and wide. In other mirrors, it's tall and thin. In other mirrors, you see 20 of you, and it's just very strange. Other mirrors, the top part is big and fat, and the bottom part is long and skinny. That's what this whole world becomes when you start waking up. You realize that you're dreaming a dream and things are all distorted, just like nighttime dreams. They're weird. They're strange. You start feeling that in your daytime life because you start seeing that you have made up all these different scenarios in your life to make you forget who you really are as the Holy Son of God. You have to experience it yourself. You can't just take my word for it or listen to it or listen to me saying this, because while I'm speaking, you may think, she's full of garbage. That's a bunch of gobbledygook. Don't give me that, which is what I used to say until I experienced it. And only you can give yourself that experience. That's why the power of decision is your own. When you decide to forgive, you decide to forgive your illusions. You say, I choose to see this world through the eyes of the Christ, through the eyes of the Holy Spirit, through the eyes of love, through the eyes of God, however you want to say that. I am choosing love over fear. I am choosing truth over illusion. However you want to do it, there's no one set way of doing that. When you make that decision and you say, I am done with conflict, I am done with believing in the ego, I am done with thinking that I'm this small self that can be hurt, your life will change. You will stop suffering. You will start waking up and being so vital and so vibrant and so alive that you will know why this is called A Course in Miracles. Let's go on to paragraph 2. This is lesson 152 in the workbook of A Course in Miracles. You may believe that this position is extreme and too inclusive to be true. Yet can truth have exceptions? If you have the gift of everything, can loss be real? Can pain be part of peace? Or grief of joy? Can fear and sickness enter in a mind where love and perfect holiness abide? Truth must be all-inclusive, if it be the truth at all. Accept no opposites and no exceptions, for to do so is to contradict the truth entirely. This is one of the uncompromising statements that A Course in Miracles makes. Truth is true and nothing else is true. Actually, that's the next line of paragraph 3. Truth is true and nothing else is true. If God is love, then there can be no death. If God is real, then there can be no pain. That is in lesson 190. I choose the joy of God instead of pain. A Course in Miracles says that God is love, wholeness, joy, peace, and in God, nothing but love exists. Therefore, if you are experiencing any difficulties, traumas, pain, if you believe you're a body and you believe your body is sick, what you are doing is you are deciding to side with illusions. You are deciding to believe the ego. You are deciding to identify with and think that you are a body and an ego who is vulnerable. And that is completely and totally false. There is absolutely no truth to your little life, to all the problems that you see. And there is absolute truth to the wholeness and the allness that you are as a holy son of God. This is difficult for us when we think we're egos, because we can hardly conceive of the joy and the allness of heaven and of God. We are so used to troubles. We are so used to physical form, and all physical form ends up decaying and dying. It has to. Everything that is born into a body, whether it be a plant or a person or a tree or whatever, everything that goes into form must break down and die. And that's why A Course in Miracles says there is no truth at all in form. Because in God, there can be no death. In God, nothing changes. It's only love, eternal, changeless, and formless. And that's where the peace of God lies. You are love. Any of your loved ones that have died are the essence and the beingness of love itself. Their bodies are gone. They, the idea of them, the wholeness of them, the allness of them, the idea of love that they are, can never die. Love is eternal. And this is where you have the power to decide. If someone you love has died or is dying, you have the power to decide, I am going to see this person in truth, or I'm going to see this person in illusion. And A Course in Miracles says that if we see someone else as a body, we are actually attacking them. We're attacking them because that is not who they are. And if we limit them to a small little body, if we limit them to an ego, if we limit them to something that can die, we have just attacked them. They are the Christ. Jesus the man became Jesus the Christ when he recognized his oneness with God. And Jesus is the author of A Course in Miracles, and he tells us the power of decision is your own. This is what you are called to do. And if you want to be free, that's what you need to step up and do. Only you can do it, because only you have decided to identify yourself as a body. Paragraph 3. Salvation is the recognition that the truth is true and nothing else is true. This you have heard before, but may not yet accept both parts of it. Without the first, the second has no meaning. But without the second, is the first no longer true. Truth cannot have an opposite. This cannot be too often said and thought about. For if what is not true is true as well as what is true, then part of truth is false, and truth has lost its meaning. Nothing but the truth is true, and what is false is false. In oneness, there is no opposite. When there is one thing, and we can call that one substance God, or we can call it love, or we can call it peace. When there is only oneness, there is nothing else. For there to be something else, there has to be two things. Oneness is complete and whole. And that is what it means when we say we are all one. There appear to be billions of separate fragments. And that is the illusory appearance. Oneness is. And this is a concept that the ego does not want to hear and cannot comprehend. However, when you decide for oneness, your mind shifts into the right part of your mind, which already knows that this is true. What happens in our process of A Course in Miracles and our process of waking up is that we tend to go back and forth in and out of truth and illusion. One minute we get it, and the next minute we don't. And that's why this line says, this cannot be too often said and thought about. Truth cannot have an opposite. I've gone in and out of this for years, but most of the time now I stay with it completely. Duality, two things, an I and a you, a subject and an object, something that is observing something else. That is where there are two things, and that's where separation occurs. There is no separation in oneness because there are not two things to separate. There is only one. And when we merge our identity back into the oneness, we are home. We are at peace. A Course in Miracles says we are already home. We just have forgotten and we've fallen asleep. And we are choosing to identify with the ego. That brings us back to the power of decision is my own. I can choose to go home and recognize that I am with God right now. Paragraph 4. This is the simplest of distinctions, yet the most obscure, but not because it is a difficult distinction to perceive. It is concealed behind a vast array of choices that do not appear to be entirely your own. And thus the truth appears to have some aspects that belie consistency, but do not seem to be but contradictions introduced by you. This can be kind of difficult to understand. When it says, but not because it is a difficult distinction to perceive. It is concealed behind a vast array of choices that do not appear to be entirely your own. This, again, is where I like to say you can see the ego world or you can see the Holy Spirit's world, and there's no one cannot overlap the other. You see one or the other. The ego world does appear to have a lot of different choices. We seem to be able to choose what kind of job we have, what kind of clothes we wear, what kind of food we eat, who we will mate with, all those kinds of things. That is the illusion. If you think of it this way, that in the tiny mad idea, when we dreamed up the world of illusion, all the cosmos with all its billions of scenarios, all of time and space. In that tiny mad idea, when we thought we could be separate from God, all of time and space happened. But it's kind of like a kaleidoscope. And all of time and space is in that kaleidoscope. And as you're looking through the kaleidoscope and you turn the end, all those little particles shift and they show a different scene with every little turn of the kaleidoscope. That's what it's like. When we look through the ego lens, we see all kinds of death, disease, conflict, war. Sometimes we see happy things, successes, joyful accomplishments, births of babies that we want to be born, etc. All of it, though, is an illusion. When we choose to look through that kaleidoscope with the Holy Spirit's eyes, we know that we're looking through an illusion. We forgive it all. And what we see is the real world of beauty. We see a forgiven world. And everything, even seemingly negative, ugly things, appear to us as beautiful because we are looking through the eyes of love. And when you see with the eyes of love, all you see is love. Because what we project is what's in our mind. When we project separation, that's what we see. When we project love, that's what we see. And so when this says we have all these, we seem to have this vast array of choices, that's the ego world. When you stop identifying yourself as a body who has choices and you say, Holy Spirit, help me to see this differently, you start realizing that your only choice is to choose between seeing the world with the ego's eyes or seeing the world with the Holy Spirit's eyes. That is what takes all the conflict away. And you realize that say you got cancer. Instead of blaming yourself for getting cancer and saying, why did I give myself to this? Or why did God give this to me? Or how can I fix this? You stop identifying yourself as that body. You look through that kaleidoscope with the Holy Spirit's eyes. And you actually love that cancer. You see that cancer as an illusion. You see the body that you think you are as an illusion. And in that view, in that vision, is the body healed, because you're seeing through love, and you're seeing that in love there can be no sickness. In oneness there can be nothing but love. There can't be a body that's sick. It's just not possible. And that is, again, the power of decision, that you have the choice between looking at it through one lens of death and illness, or looking at it through the lens of love and wholeness. That's your power of decision. So when you think you have all these choices, that's the illusion. That's the separation, like, oh my gosh, I had better make all the right choices in my life or I'm going to be in trouble. When you step back and choose with God and choose with the Holy Spirit, and you say, Holy Spirit, decide for God, for me. Holy Spirit, help me to see this differently, or I choose not to judge anything. Your mind is shifted over to love, and your world starts showing up differently. You can call in with questions at 917-932-8881, or go to my website, lauriecoburn.com. That's Lori with two R's, L-O-R-R-I. Coburn, C-O-B-U-R-N.com, and click the Ask Lori button to send me a message, which I will then email you an answer back. We won't be doing that on the air. Paragraph 5, we're on lesson 152 of the workbook of A Course in Miracles. As God created you, you must remain unchangeable, with transitory states by definition false. And that includes all shifts in feeling, alterations in conditions of the body and the mind, in all awareness, and in all response. This is the all-inclusiveness which sets the truth apart from falsehood, and the false kept separate from the truth as what it is. As God created you, you must remain changeless. God created you perfect. You are the perfect child of God, and only you can decide to claim your inheritance. One of the lessons in the Course, lesson 183, is the name of God is my inheritance. But if you receive an inheritance, think about that on earth. If your mother or father dies and you're left an inheritance, if you never go pick it up, then it might as well just sit there unclaimed. It's not yours unless you claim it. Same thing with your identity as the Holy Son of God. If you do not claim it, it's not yours, because you're still thinking you're this small self. This is like the story of the prodigal son in the Bible, which A Course in Miracles also references that story. It says we are all the prodigal son who has gone away from the Father and squandered our inheritance. And then one day we wake up and say, maybe I can go back and work in the slop house, live with the pigs. My father will at least give me that. And we come home and the father says, my son has returned home. Kill the fatted calf. Put the most royal robes on him. Let's have a feast. I am so happy that my son has come home. This is what happens to your life when you claim your inheritance as a holy son of God. Your life starts becoming this wonderful, miracle-laden thing. It is just amazing. And then you look at it and you say, my gosh, this was here all along. That's what's happened to me in my life. Every time I've made a shift into receiving more of God's good, more of God's love, I recognize, wow, I could have had this all along. It's like that commercial. Wow, I could have had a V8. I could have had God's love all this time, and I never stepped up to take it, to receive it. It's all about receiving it, and the way that you receive it is declaring it. I decide that I am a holy son of God. I am the perfect child of God, and I am claiming all of my good right here, right now. Then what happens is when the ego darkness rises up and says, no, you're a piece of crap. No, you've done this bad thing in the past. You don't deserve good things. Oh, no, you've never made money in your life. What makes you think you're going to make it now? Oh, you know, you did that bad thing to that person. What makes you think you deserve a healthy, happy relationship? You're a mean person. You're bad. No one's going to love you. When all of those ego thoughts rise up, A Course in Miracles has one main tool to handle those, and that is forgiveness. When those thoughts rise in, you just say, forgive. I forgive it. I forgive that ego thought. That's not true. Turn my mind back over to God. I forgive myself for believing I'm a small self who can have problems and be a problem, who's totally unworthy of anything in this world. I claim my inheritance. There's all kinds of words you can say. Know that as you're doing that, it is the right part of your mind that is actually making the changes. Your right mind actually is already whole and complete. There is nothing you need to change. And the more you forgive these wrong-minded thoughts, the more you recognize that it's already done. And then it becomes real quick and easy. Miracles become habits. Miracles become par for the course. They just become natural as you choose love over fear over and over and over. And your life gets really, really wonderful. Paragraph 6. Is it not strange that you believe that to think you made the world you see is arrogance? God made it not. Of this you can be sure. What can God know of the ephemeral, the sinful, and the guilty, the afraid, the suffering, and lonely, and the mind that lives within a body that must die? You but accuse him of insanity to think he made a world where such things seem to have reality. He is not mad, yet only madness makes a world like this. This is one of those lines in A Course in Miracles that people will say is blasphemous. A Course in Miracles says, we made this world. On the other hand, we never made this world because there's no world out there. It's completely in our minds, and that's why we are the ones who have to change our minds to unmake it, or to better said, wake up to the fact that we never made it and that it's not out there. So A Course in Miracles says, you're not arrogant for taking the power of decision back into your hands. In fact, the ego just tries to tell you that you're arrogant when you say the power of decision is my own and the name of God is my inheritance and I am a holy son of God. The ego is lying to you. A Course in Miracles says that that is false humility and that you must step up and claim your inheritance because that is the only way you'll wake up and that's the only way you'll stop suffering. This paragraph says that God could not possibly have made such a crazy world as what we live in because God is not mad, God is not insane. But our minds that think that we're in this world are wrong-minded. And that's why A Course in Miracles says we are all delusional. We are all captured by this illusion. It's insane to think that we could leave the truth of what we really are. We are insane to think that we have left love. How can we leave what we are? How can we be something that we are not? And yet it takes time and time and time again, decision after decision after decision, to restore our mind to right-mindedness and wake up to what we are. Paragraph 7. To think that God made chaos contradicts his will, invented opposites to truth, and suffers a death to triumph over life. All this is arrogance. Humility would see at once these things are not of God. And can you see what God created not? To think you can is merely to believe you can perceive what God willed not to be. And what could be more arrogant than this? The Course in Miracles turns our idea of arrogance upside down. It says that we are arrogant to believe that we could make a world that is not of God. A Course in Miracles says we are arrogant to believe that we can see something that God did not create, because God did not create this world. A Course in Miracles calls us to be truly humble, stating that when we receive our inheritance as the Holy Son of God, that is true humility and grandeur. That's not grandiosity of the ego. That's not the delusion or the delusions of grandeur that the mentally ill have. In fact, A Course in Miracles says, unless you accept your identity as the Holy Son of God, unless you accept the truth of your being, that's when you're deluded. It turns everything that we think of in this world upside down. The Course says that there is not one idea that the world upholds that is consistent with love or consistent with truth. And so A Course in Miracles says we have to question every single value we hold. If we want to wake up, we have to use the power of decision and decide for God and decide that we're no longer going to believe this illusory world that we made up. But we have to be absolutely firm in our decision, because there's heaven and there's hell, and there's no compromise between the two. The world we see, this earth, is hell. It's all around us. Look at all the stuff that's going on politically. Look at all the pollution. Look at the global warming, the wars, the fact that at a push of a button, we could be completely destroyed. If that's not hell, I don't know what is. My mother was very fond of saying, when I was growing up, I used to go to Sunday school, and I would come home and say, Mom, you have to stop smoking, and you have to accept Jesus as your Savior, because you're going to go to hell if you don't. And my mom used to answer that with, hell is right here on earth. And that's what A Course in Miracles says. Hell is right here on earth, because hell is in your mind when you're choosing the wrong mind. When you are not using your power of decision to choose with God, you are in hell. You can stay there as long as you want. The truth is, you're not really there, because God would not leave you alone and comfortless. The very nanosecond that you choose God and you really mean it, you are in heaven, right then, right there. I've experienced this countless times in doing this Course in Miracles. That's why I know it's true. And it doesn't matter what religion you are. You can do A Course in Miracles and be a Christian. You can do A Course in Miracles and be a Hindu, a Muslim, a Jew. It doesn't matter. Truth is true and nothing else is true. So whatever religious symbols you want to use that help you identify with God, if the word Allah brings you into a sense of being next to God, connected to God, being one with God, use the word Allah. If the symbol of Jesus Christ is what makes you feel connected to God, use that. If the symbol of Krishna or Shiva or Shakti or Lakshmi or any of these Hindu gods bring into you this awareness that you are one with God, use those symbols, because everything on earth is a symbol. Every religion, every single form on earth is just a symbol. The book A Course in Miracles is just a symbol. It's not real. It's not truth. A Course in Miracles is a book. It's not true. truth is true and nothing else is true. And A Course in Miracles says you will throw this book away when you understand that. You don't need it anymore. It's just a ladder up to heaven. And when you've climbed the ladder, you don't need the ladder anymore. So anything that tells you we've got the truth and nothing else does, that's a lie. That is a lie. Because God is, love is, truth is, and in oneness there is no opposite. Nothing can be opposite of the love of God. That's why nothing in form, nothing in the world that you see is true. That's why the first workbook lesson in A Course in Miracles states, nothing I see means anything. Because when we are seeing through the body's eyes, we're seeing form. However, when you see through that kaleidoscope and you see with the Holy Spirit's eyes of love, everything has meaning because all you see is love. There's a line in chapter 12 of A Course in Miracles that says, when love is all you want, love will be all you see. And that is true. Then you're in truth. So use that power of decision to choose truth. Paragraph 8. Let us today be truly humble and accept what we have made as what it is. The power of decision is our own. Decide but to accept your rightful place as co-creator of the universe, and all you think you made will disappear. What rises to awareness then will be all that there ever was, eternally as it is now. And it will take the place of self-deceptions made but to usurp the altar to the Father and the Son. The power of decision is our own. Decide but to accept your rightful place as co-creator of the universe, of love, not the universe of form and hatred and division and death and war and poverty and illness. All those things are illusions. And when you forgive them, what will rise to awareness will then be all that ever was, eternally as it is now. And the love of God will take over your perceptions, and you will live this life in peace. And you will recognize that your body's function is only to extend that love to the other seeming bodies out there. That becomes your only purpose in life. Your body no longer is important, and it will be laid aside when its usefulness is done. My dad's passing of his body taught me that. And when my dad laid aside his body, and I realized that while he was in the body, I had not fully received all of my dad's love. My dad totally loved me unconditionally. As far as an earthly father goes, he was about as good as they possibly get. He had his flaws. He had his problems. He got on my nerves. But he loved me unconditionally. And that is only a smidgen of the love that God, the creator that we are, loves us. And I realized after my dad dropped his body that I had not received all of his love. And I thought, how stupid was I? All my life I could have received his love. But I realized I can receive it now. The grief over losing him was so strong, and I realized I've got to receive that love so I'm not in grief. And I opened to receiving it. And that was the point at which then I opened to receiving all of God's love, because that's all there is. My earthly father was just a symbol of all the love that's out there. And the power of decision for you to receive it is yours as well. If you have any questions about this, go to my website, lauricoburn.com, and feel free to ask me a question. That's Lori, L-O-R-R-I, Coburn, C-O-B-U-R-N.com. Remember, the power of decision is your own. You can receive all of love, all of truth, right here, right now. There's nothing outside your mind. It's there for you, and you deserve it. Have a good night. God bless.